Welcome to The Voice, a show that breaks vagina down and builds it back up, one community at a time. We're your hosts. I'm Kent Morrison.
And I'm Molly Thomas.
Together, we're going to take a closer look at all the little parts that make vagina tick. There's a lot of different communities out there, Molly, with a lot of different people.
Absolutely, Kent. Just take a walk downtown and it's right there in front of you. Because our city is so diverse, people seem to identify with one community or another.
Yeah, they do. Whether it's based on hobbies, heritage, lifestyle, or sports, people in Regina seem to find their niche and roll with it.
Well, the first story we're going to look at today focuses on a school community. The people of Luther College are a tight-knit group, but after the recent pellet gun scare, they've grown even closer. Here's Mike Raptus with that story.
The process of healing continues at Luther College after a former student held the school hostage. But while the incident has brought the Christian-based community closer, many are struggling with the key element of their faith, forgiveness. Mark Anderson, the Luther principal involved in the incident, understands the challenges the school faces to forgive, but to not forget.
I'm sure the suspect is hurting in his own particular ways and obviously struggling. So I think for some people in our community, it has caused them to question and challenge their faith. And what does it mean to forgive somebody? It's easy to forgive somebody when you're not really put out or hurt or endangered by it. Now the real challenge is when you have been endangered and hurt, can you forgive?
The Luther community ultimately wants the former student to get help without the justice system ruining his life. A Luther College graduate, Tony Sarunas, echoes these sentiments.
I don't have any problem with a suspect being released. Like, I mean, he knows what he's done wrong, and I don't believe he'd be a threat to the public safety.
Sarunas also believes this can happen in any school and should not reflect poorly on Luther College as an institution. The school's principal adds the incident has galvanized the community by reminding them how much they do care for each other. This is Mike Raptus reporting.
Thanks, Mike. The Luther community seems to be as strong as ever. While the Luther students are out of harm's way, there's a whole community of youth still at risk here in Regina. Street Culture Kids is a program helping young people turn their lives around. Annie McLeod brings the story of the importance of building relationships.
They call me at risk because of, like, the neighborhood I come from, you know, the things that I've seen.
As adolescents, some kids try drugs, stealing, and even join gangs. Thankfully, there's Street Culture Kids. The organization offers job skills training to put youth on the right path.
It's helped me to see the bigger picture, that there's something greater than myself out there, and now I have an obligation to be an upstanding, productive member of society.
Street Culture Kids creates an environment for high-risk youth to safely try something different. Executive Director Kim Sutherland stresses the importance of building relationships between mentors and protégés.
If we were to take this into the community as the building blocks of every type of interaction that we had in general community, I think we'd have a much stronger, efficient, and much more fiscally responsible process.
Sutherland is pleased that some kids can now share their stories. He always wants to leave people with a sense of hope and to consider the possibilities. For The Voice, this is Annie McLeod.
And the only thing that helps people change is other people.
Well, it sounds like a good support system. Thanks for the story, Annie. Well, we wanted to turn it over to you, Regina. So we've sent our own Emma Ruthnam to the streets to ask, what community do you identify with?
I identify with the arts and cultural community in Saskatoon.
I am in the community that I've invented of my own, 33, thinking I'm 23.
I identify most with the film community.
I just volunteer at the hospital because that's about as involved as I can get.
We identify with the young person community, the youth.
My family. I don't ever go out. I just spend time with my family, so that'd be my community.
I relate to the music community.
The table hockey community.
The Rough Rider community.
Fine, I identify with the thespian community.
Whatever floats your boat. Thanks, Emma.
This is Marshall Byrne.
And Samra Salu from the band Rara, and you're listening to The Voice.
Regina is becoming more multicultural, and immigration is playing a big part. Let's go to Molly for more.
Sudan, Congo, Afghanistan, Iraq. The list of countries facing war and instability seems to grow every day. Millions of people are fleeing their homes in hopes of peace and security. A recent report shows that 10,000 refugees will settle in Saskatchewan next year. Darcy Dietrich works for the Regina Open Door Society and regularly works with new immigrants. He believes that people need to feel a sense of community when they come to a new place. Otherwise, they run the risk of being alienated and targeted for gangs. And it's a concern shared by the Regina Police as well. A Citizens Police Academy is in development, and it's aimed specifically at helping new immigrants. Constable Tracy Dunnigan says their new program seeks to foster a relationship between immigrants and the police. This is important, she says, because some people may come from countries that have a fear of police. By working together, the Regina Open Door Society and the police service hope to foster a better sense of community for new residents.
Well, from the Open Door Society to the great outdoors. The environment is a hot topic these days as the world tries to go green. Here in Regina, a budding community of green thumbs have found a new way to compost. Here's Emma with more.
You actually harvest your compost?
A small group of environmentally conscious students gathered at the university this Thursday. The group got their hands dirty to learn about the importance of vermicomposting. Glenna Coleman, arts major, sees the importance of these workshops on campus.
I think that the university is a good place to have this kind of thing because university students are pretty progressive.
Sean Denham, VP Student Affairs at the University of Regina Student Union, was excited to fulfill sustainability goals and educate himself.
We have sustainability initiatives, and so, I don't know, we've just been putting a lot of focus on sustainability. We have a new sustainability committee, and we just thought this project would help.
Lindsay Lofthouse, speaker from the City of Regina, knows just how many benefits vermicomposting can have.
It diverts organics from the landfill. You get a great compost at the end if you like gardening. If you have plants in your house, you have a rich fertilizer, and it's cheap, it's easy, and it can be really fun.
Education is the key to change society's views on sustainability. For The Voice, I'm Emma Ratnam.
Speaking of green, our very own Rough Riders now have all the time they want to enjoy the outdoors. Michael Bishop, on the other hand, will be spending his off-season looking for another team. Here's Kent with our community sports roundup.
This season, the Saskatchewan Rough Riders and their fans find themselves watching the Grey Cup in a familiar place. Their homes. Despite last year's big win, the Green and White were forced to clean out their lockers at Mosaic Stadium after ending an injury-riddled season with a 33-12 loss at home to the BC Lions. In local hockey action, the Regina Pats are in second place in the East Division. First-year coach Dale Durkech has put a fine product on the ice. Pats forward Garrett Mitchell has recently been ranked 17th out of the top 25 skaters in the WHL, and goalie Damian Ketlow was ranked 3rd of the top 5 goaltenders. And finally, the 2000-2001 University of Regina women's basketball team was recently inducted into the Regina Sports Hall of Fame. The team, led by coach Christine Stapleton, lost just 2 games and brought the school its first women's basketball national championship with a 94-85 win over Alberta. This is the second team the U of R has inducted into the Regina Sports Hall of Fame. Last year, the 1996-97 men's wrestling team was also inducted.
In keeping with sports, The Voice's own Eric Anderson takes us to small-town Saskatchewan. The struggles of a girls' volleyball team has the community of Lumsden looking for a solution. Here's Eric with that story.
It's mid-October and volleyball season is in full swing. At a tournament in Lumsden, teams have traveled from across rural Saskatchewan to play the sport they love. Dana Krinke has coached volleyball for 21 years and currently teaches in Oxbow. She comments on her team's difficult travel schedule.
Also traveling so far just to get a game. We play no games during the week at all. We can't. There's nobody out there to play. Our closest tournament probably is this one at 3 hours nearly.
The road trips were one of many sacrifices made by students, coaches, and parents. Leanne Peterson, whose daughter Maddie plays for the Kyle Comets, discusses the impact volleyball has on her family.
We are the drivers, and I mean, it's the gas is out of our pockets, and you know, and all your food and your meals and all that. But you know, it's worth every bit of it.
Rural schools face unique challenges operating a volleyball program. As she prepared to drive her team back to the hotel, Krinke offered this warning to school divisions.
People need to continue to support them. There needs to be money there. and our present division schools, and this is across the province, it's not just us, division boards aren't supporting them, they're cutting back. They're going to see more vandalism in their schools if they start cutting out extracurricular. They're going to see kids dropping out. They're going to see averages going down.
I'm Eric Anderson.
Thanks for that, Eric. And after the break, you will hear stories from Regina's wild and wacky sides. Also, we catch up with Emma, back on the street, asking the people of Regina where they find out about what's going on in their community. That and much, much more, coming up on The Voice.
Hello, this is Vianne Timmons, president of the University of Regina, and you are listening to The Voice.
Word of mouth.
What's happening in the university through the email system mainly, and just all the people that I know here.
Mostly I would just talk with people and see if anyone knows of anything interesting going on.
Yeah, over the internet or through newspapers.
My staff. That's where I find out most of the stuff, and Facebook.
Many areas of Shakespeare, Persephone theaters, stuff like that. Many, many cultural events in the summertime.
I walk around because I live there.
The internet, Facebook.
Leader Post.
Z99, The Wolf.
Different newspapers, friends, sister plays in a band, so just a variety of sources.
Usually the Man Pit on Tuesday nights. It's just a hip area around town where table hockey lovers unite every second Tuesday.
I'd say Cynthia would work best.
Usually just through friends, word of mouth, largely. Websites, they actually have some pretty good information as to the ongoings within the city.
Usually through reading through the paper, in the news. Also through other friends and peers.
And welcome back to our program. We're your hosts. I'm Molly Thomas.
And I'm Kent Morrison.
Next, we're taking you to a place many haven't been, or at least don't admit to. We're talking about Dancers, Regina's one and only gentlemen's club. Reporter Karen Yeske goes beyond the velvet rope to bring us a story about one dancer who uses her brain as much as her body.
Her stage name is Lucky, her street name, Christine. As a teen, she was kicked out of her house. She is now a 21-year-old exotic dancer with two young children. She says when you're forced into a situation, you find a way to make it work.
I have a lot of passion for what I do and a lot of passion for what I study. So I just work really, really hard and try to sleep whenever I can and try to use my time as best as I can, and I try my hardest not to waste a second of time.
She has a nanny to care for her children when she works and studies for school. She says she's always had a thirst for knowledge.
I always remember just looking up into the universe and just wanting to know. Just wanting to know, that's it. Just a deep passion, I guess, since I was very, very little.
And what she found was quantum physics. She buys textbooks and teaches herself. Christine hopes to one day challenge the physics test at SciEst and pass without paying for the courses. Until then, she works at a nightclub. She says the benefits of exercising, meeting interesting people, and money outweigh the negatives. For her, dancing has a different meaning.
Would feel like I was disrespecting myself, but as I started dancing, it really didn't feel that way at all. I look at it as an art form. It's, to me, it's beautiful. You're dancing naked. It can be a work of art instead of a sexual thing.
Christine thinks working there is nearly perfect. The Regina Club is slower compared to the bigger communities. This means less time dancing and more time studying physics. Karen Yeske reporting.
What an inspiring story. In other news, Regina's gay community is working on revving up the fun in queer culture. Molly?
After 20 years, Regina's Lavender Club is closing its doors. This club was organized to bring the lesbian community together. Bobby Jo, daughter of Lavender's founder, has returned to Regina to carry the torch. She says that she's noticed the lackluster gay community in Regina and is here to revive it. She's as good as her word and has hosted two events in the Queen City so far. Meow Mix, in honor of the first lesbian event ever held in North America, provided a night of entertainment for women. The second event, Cruise Control, was a dance party for the masses. With two successful events, Bobby Jo feels confident about the future. Keep your ears peeled, Regina. I'm sure there's more to come.
Thanks. No matter what the community, people want to have fun. Molly brings us the story of people who laugh, just for the health of it.
Laughter, a familiar yet youthful sound. Though enjoyable, most people don't laugh without a reason. But two-time cancer survivor Jane Clendenning hopes to change this attitude. As an international laughter coach, she sees the direct health benefits of letting loose.
That you don't need to laugh for real in order to receive the health benefits. When you fake your laughter, you release endorphins, which are those happy hormones, similar in structure to morphine, and it's a natural high.
Laughter yoga combines both laughter exercises and yoga breathing. Laughter clubs are popping up all around the province, and physiotherapist Yvonne Allensworth even recommends it to her patients.
Anybody who had any type of breathing problems, whether it was chronic breathing conditions or whether it was just post-op, I was getting them to do it. It tends to get them using their stomach muscles more.
With cancer survivors and health professionals all in agreement, perhaps laughter truly is the best medicine. This is Molly Thomas.
Thanks, Molly. In other news, it's time to celebrate. Opa! Organizers and volunteers of Regina's Greek community are working hard to make a fundraising event a success. And based on their efforts, expectations are high for the 9th annual Olive and Grape Harvest Festival. The event is a popular one, with all of Regina welcome to indulge in the wine, music, and food it has to offer. A volunteer, Spiro Kangles, hopes to share the cultural ideals of family, friendship, and generosity. The festival began in 1999 as a celebration of the olive and grape harvest, something that occurs in Greece this time of year. One of its founders, George Agelopoulos, expects people to have fun, especially during the stomping of the grapes. Proceeds from this event will be going towards St. Paul's Greek Orthodox Church, as well as local charities.
Mmm, that sounds delicious and fun. Well, let's now turn the page to a group practicing an eerie method of communication. Their otherworldly insights can be found right here in Regina. Let's tap into the paranormal with Kent.
Visitors to St. Chad's Cathedral witnessed to some strange paranormal activity. In fact, a woman who wishes only to be named Heike saw something that she will never forget.
In the distance, I saw a figure of a girl. She started talking to me. She told me her name was Abigail. She was 7. And I don't know, she kept saying, and I've no idea. I still don't, to this point, understand that. I am still freaked.
As medium Jeff Richards explains, what happened to Heike could happen to anyone.
Every time we are in an area and there's something that ties us to that area, that energy that we create at that moment in time sticks like a piece of film to that location. So is it possible that, you know, the next night or 20, 30 years from now, somebody might actually see this exact scene happening right now? Absolutely.
So next time you get a cold chill in a dark room, take a minute to look around for what might actually be there. Maybe you'll see my friend Jack.
Jack.
Reporting from the other side, I'm Kent Morrison.
Ooh, scary stuff. Thanks, Kent. On to the university community. Students at the U of R are known for working hard, and perhaps playing even harder. A game some are playing combines both the books and the bottle. Samantha McCaig has that story.
Every Wednesday night from 10 p.m. until after midnight, people pack the Lazy Owl to take part in pub trivia. Guys and gals aged 19 and up participate in 6 rounds of questioning. 3 are of general knowledge, and 3 focus on music. The winner of each round earns their team a free pitcher of beer. The event is co-hosted and coordinated by Drew Baldock and Justin Grill of the Engineering Student Society. Grill says that there are a variety of sources that they pull questions from.
You really never know what we're going to throw at you. We use the internet, verifying on multiple levels. We use trivia books. We use recordings, movies, music, pretty much everything in everyday life that you might encounter. We just write it down.
Though she is convocated, Erin Seifert, a 25-year-old Faculty of Arts graduate, has been competing weekly with her team, the Bipolar Bears, for just under a year.
I started out coming to trivia because it gave me a little bit of a break from school. Just have your mind on something else and...
Pub trivia is free of charge and offers participants a way to de-stress and have a good time midweek. Can't argue with that. I'm Samantha McKeag.
I don't know how they can concentrate. Well done, Sam. And well done, students. Staying with the U of R, the women's basketball team is gearing up for a special event. Molly, can you tell us a little more about this?
Absolutely, Kent. Now, while most people try and avoid sweaty, aggressive females, the University of Regina is not shying away from them. This March, Regina won't lack estrogen as hundreds of females take to the court. That's right, folks, CIS Women's National Basketball Action is coming your way. 8 of the nation's top teams will lace up their sneakers right here in our own Queen City. This is a special year for Regina to be hosting the games. Coming off a silver medal in last year's championships, the Cougar women are officially on the prowl. With a 5-1 record, the team is off to a great start and setting their sights on gold. Becky Schmidt is a fourth-year player who is especially excited to play in front of friends and family. And that's exactly what event organizers want this tournament to be, a time of support and celebration in the Regina basketball community. The committee also wants to recognize upcoming talent. Females from the junior Cougars as well as high school athletes will participate in halftime activities. I'm sure the two-ball competition will not disappoint. And of course, it's not all business. The 3-day tournament will also have an awards banquet, opening and closing ceremonies, as well as a Saturday night social. So, basketball fans, mark your calendars and get your tickets. March 6th to 8th at the University of Regina. And I'm assuming, Kent, that with 100 girls in that gym, that you'll probably be kicking around?
Hey, every team needs a towel boy, Molly. I think I'll probably check it out. For the love of basketball, of course.
Hey, this is Justin Bender from Into Eternity. You're listening to The Voice. I'm on my knees, but
I can't fall. Our final story takes us to a famous little gas station. Corner Gas, the long-running show with Saskatchewan roots, has wrapped production. Its recent set sale proves that its fans may just be a little wackier than the show itself. Here's Kim Nekrako with the story.
Everything but wardrobe is straight ahead.
Yeah, straight ahead.
Straight through there.
After years of acquiring props and set decoration, Corner Gas is a wrap. It's now time to clean house. Property master Jay Robertson is digging his way out from under 6 years of accumulation.
It took seven, eight people about 2 weeks to go through everything and get to the stage where we're at today, which is tables and tables and tables of stuff and rows of furniture.
The fans appreciate the effort. Over 30 people wait in line for such a unique shopping experience. Longtime fan Marie Patrician didn't want to miss this opportunity.
I am picking up some of the pictures that would have been hanging in quite likely the Dog River Hockey Club. I love the Howler, so that was one of my favorites. Brent's comic books. And the ATM, because that was a real huge fiasco. So we have to have that for our house as well.
The knickknacks purchased today will remind fans for years to come of their favorite Saskatchewan show. I'm Kim Nekrako.
So that's a wrap for Corner Gas.
And that's a wrap for our show. We'd like to thank the many communities in Regina who lent their voices to the program.
We'd also like to thank our team that made this show possible.
I want you to get together.
Our producer, Kim Nakrako.
Associate producer, Annie McLeod.
I want you to get together.
Samantha McKeag and Eric Anderson, our post-production duo.
Our wonderful writer, Mike Raptis.
And of course, our great team of reporters. Delaney Windigo, Sarah Fitzgerald, Mark Raffi, Emma Rethnam, and Karen Yeske.
And we've been your hosts. I'm Kent Morrison.
And I'm Molly Thomas.
I want you to get together.
Thanks for listening.